Hey, I want to go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We don't know who the writer of Hebrews is. Some people think it was Paul, some don't. It doesn't really matter. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's profitable. And I'm glad to go into God's Word. And I want to start with Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 35th verse. Therefore, the writer says, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Do not throw away your confidence. What this says to us is confidence is not a throwaway disposable item. Confidence is assurance. It's persuasion. I'm convinced the devil antagonizes every believer in areas of uncertainty. That's why it's important that we make certain about our calling. We get secure about who God is. We've spent the last hour or so reinforcing the fact that God is faithful, He's trustworthy, He's reliable, He's present. I just want to say that, you know, the circumstances of life, the awkward situations, betrayals of people, hurts that try to come in our lives and try to clip us at the knees, but God is someone that will never leave us nor forsake us. We already read that He doesn't slumber nor sleep. He stays awake 24/7, and His eye is fixed on you. He cares about you. He loves you. Get a hold of that. Be familiar with that. It says also that we are not of those, it says in verse 39, who shrink back to destruction, but we are of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. So we are not people that shrink back to destruction. We are people that move forward with assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. And I want to go right over to, since we're in the book of Hebrews, go back to chapter 6, and I want to read one of my favorite kind of concepts here, because this verse 11 and 12, it says, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. You know, there comes an end in everyone's life. We breathe our last. We stand before the Lord. There comes an end to the heavens and the earth that we see. There'll be new heavens and a new earth. We're people of the end of the age. But that's not a morbid thought, because it just means we show the same diligence so that we'll realize the full assurance of hope until the end. And then it says, so that you will not be sluggish. You'll not have a dull edge. You'll not be blunted. You'll not be in a stupor. I believe right now God wants to sharpen you, strengthen you, restore confidence in your spirit, bring you back into a state of steadiness and of stability and of purpose, of renewal. You can do this, people. God is faithful to guide and lead. How many of you have walked this thing out for a little while? Let me see your hands. Who's seen people drift off the path? I've seen countless people drift off the path. I know the Lord, the Good Shepherd, will go out and leave the 99 to get and retrieve those ones. We'll see waves of detached people come back. But listen, we are not of those who shrink back. We are not of those who shrink back to destruction. It's not in our DNA. It's certainly not in the heart of our Father, who is a warrior. It's not in the heart of our Savior, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It's not in the heart of people like David or Paul, who persevered through all the trials. Even consider Job. Go to James chapter 5 and verse 11. This fascinates me. We're real close to Hebrews, then James. Because what we're doing is we're building a case here about holding on to our confidence. We're not of those who shrink back. In fact, there are examples in the Old and New Testament. People like Job, nations like Israel, kings like David, apostles like Paul, Savior like Jesus, who are examples. And it says in verse 10 and 11 and 12, it says, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who have endured. You know, my heroes are not these fancy pants, flash in the pan, shooting star, meteoric beginning people. The people I'm fascinated by are the people who have endured hardship, overcome, still landing on their feet like cats. I like seeing people that persevere through life, don't you? We count those blessed who have endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job. We've heard of the suffering of Job, but have you heard of the endurance of Job? The steadfastness of Job, the patience of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Man, I love these verses. These verses put me in touch with the outcome of the Lord's dealings, the endurance of people who have been through some things. We've heard about Job. Most of us avoid the book because he went through so much hardship, we kind of wince at it. We don't really want to even go through these pages because we don't want to commiserate and suffer with him. But listen, he had a beginning, a middle, and an end to his challenges and trials. Some people think it was probably about an 18-month period. Isn't that interesting? And then he came up smelling like a rose in the end. And we need to consider the outcome of the Lord's dealings. You got to look at the whole picture. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan that buffeted him blow by blow. He inquired of the Lord, and God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And he said, "Okay, I'm just going to praise God. Even in my weakness, I'm made strong. Even in my difficulty, I rejoice." He learned an interesting lesson that in all circumstances, he was to count it all joy and he was to rejoice in the Lord. And he exhorted us as such too. And you look at Job, and we're actually to consider Job's life, the outcome of his life, as endurance. And he came up with a couple of key points in chapter 42. Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." I know you can do all things. This is what Job's takeaway was through his battles. That God was the God of the impossible. That God is supernaturally strong. That he can do all things. This reminds me of Jeremiah where he said, "Ah, Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power, and nothing is too hard for you." Nothing is too difficult for thee, it says in the King James. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" The answer is no, nothing is too difficult for our God. And he said, "And that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." That's what Job determined. He answered the Lord, in fact, and said, "God, you've given me this perspective. You can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted." And then in verse 10 of chapter 42, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. And verse 12 says, the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. Then he named off the 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels. You know, we had 3 camels here for different Christmas plays. That was plenty for me. This guy had 6,000 camels. That's prosperity back in the day. That's like having a whole parking lot of Rolls Royces. And 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 female donkeys. And I suppose female donkeys are better than male donkeys. They're less stubborn, I suppose. And he was blessed, and God blessed him and blessed his family and blessed his life. And he lived 140 years. And Job died an old man in full age of days. Listen, we need to consider the outcome of the Lord's dealings. The Lord is full of compassion and he's merciful. Listen, with this, we don't throw away our confidence. We embrace confidence-producing awareness as we consider the example of those who suffered and those who were patient and those who endured before us. And from that, we extract the faithfulness of God and these same conclusions that Jeremiah and Job came up with, which is, "Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too difficult for you." David echoed this. He said, "You've made the heavens and the earth." And he said, "When I consider the moon and the stars," you know, the closest stars, what is it? It's light years away. It's so far away. And yet he said, you care for me. You've considered me. Did it ever occur to you that God knows the number of hairs on each one of our heads? That is amazing to me. He can tend to every church throughout the entire, all the nations of the world, in Brazil to Norway to the islands, Southern California, all over. He could tend to each flock of each, and he can tend to each individual believer just as if you're the only person in the universe. Job got a hold of this, and God restored the fortunes of Job. This reminds me of Joel chapter 2, verse 25, where he said, "Then I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten." There's something redemptive in every experience we apparently face. God knows how to turn your mourning into dancing. He knows how to turn your sackcloth and ashes into a tone of praise. He knows how to take difficulties and trials and work them together for good. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Wow. Endurance, perseverance, patience, long-suffering. These are familiar themes. They don't evoke an amen. Because long-suffering, you know what long-suffering is? Where you suffer for a long time. And we recoil. None of us, I think I can speak for all of us, none of us like suffering. But there just is part of challenge and trial in life. In fact, I heard a great faith-oriented preacher say there's suffering according to the will of God. There are just things you go through in life that seem disorienting. But as we, through faith and patience, like it says in Hebrews chapter 6, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, you will not become dull, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We need to learn to imitate, learn from these guys, and imitate their faith. Take hold of what they walked in. You read about Job, you just dabble in these 42 chapters. You see some of the difficulty the guy went through. And you know, you think, man, go and look at the conclusion. Because the Bible, in fact, says to us, it's okay to look at the outcome of the Lord's dealings. Look at the end of Job's life. Look at the end of Paul's life. In the book of Acts, in the last chapter, after he went through tremendous heartache, he was beaten, he was thrown out to sea, all kinds of terrible. He was out and he was telling the guys, listen, man, don't go out. The winds are going to be contrary to us. They ignored him and they just went ahead and everything got all messed up. And yet God spared him. You read the last part of the book of Acts. He was enjoying being in his own environment, reaching the household of Caesar, having phenomenal impact. And we need to learn the outcome of the Lord's dealings. On this side of a conflict or a battle, it looks miserable, toxic, weird, and terrible. But those of you who have endured and come through and persevered and you didn't throw away your confidence, did you notice how breakthrough occurred? How God caused all things to work together for good? How he gave you amazing bounce back ability? And that it really wasn't in this sort of positive mental thinking. It wasn't really even in some sort of maintaining of optimism. It wasn't sort of trying to overtures of trying to just, you know, keep pepped up with happiness. It was really something substantial where God truly turns things around. Job said, "I know you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." I'm sure little Mary, who understood and grew up understanding these things, when the angel visited her and she said, "Be it unto me according to your word." I'm sure these truths were what put strength and stamina into her young system. I'm sure this is what God used to help Joseph to cope with the ridiculous awkwardness that he inherited in his calling. Realize how cool Joseph was, what he had to contend with. What a fascinating character. Thank God for Joseph, the earthly stepdad to Jesus. What a fascinating guy. Aren't you grateful for him? And as a person, I'm grateful I get to spend eternity with somebody like that. He's got quite a story. I'm honored to be part of the same kingdom as him. I am honored to be among the company of Mary, who did what God called her to do. Aren't you? I honor that. I honor her. She is blessed among women. She was amazing as a champion of the faith. Amazing. King David, that guy messed up, but he just kept running toward God. Fascinating that he just refused to back off of the call on his life. Job, can we talk for a minute? We don't want to read that book because it's scary how bad his situation was. But let's face it, God restored him. God restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. I'm all about restoration, man. I'm all about soul repair. I just don't think we should ever give up on people. I like this church because we run toward situations most people run away from. When there's a disaster and people are evacuating, it's pretty easy traffic going in the opposite direction. It traffic jams escaping from it, but there's not a lot of traffic going into the problem. I've noticed this in my own life. You could really count on one finger faithful people when you're going through a battle. Friendships really get clarified when you're having a struggle. It's amazing. Job had that happen. David had that happen. Paul had that happen. He even named off the people that went this way and went that way. And he just, man, he had Timothy or he had Titus or he had one or two. But God never leaves us nor forsakes us. That's why we don't throw away our confidence. Because our confidence is built in how faithful God is. Nothing is too hard for God. Solomon said it, and I love these verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You can't figure all this out. Your head does not have the capacity to unravel the multifaceted complexity of this thing. And yet, what we fundamentally can rest on is, Lord, I can be confident in you. And I love these bottom line statements that Job answered to you. Number one, you can do all things. And number two, no purpose of yours can be thwarted. See, what we tend to get tempted to do is look into a situation and try to analyze what is impossible to understand and ignore the fundamentals of what we can understand. And what I believe God wants us to do, and I don't think this is an oversimplification, meditate on what can be understood. Job didn't say, God, why? How come the devil and bombarding and temptation and all this pressure and all this hardship? He just said, God, number one, I know you can do all things. Number two, no plan of yours can be thwarted. That was his takeaway. And you could look and study the outcome of Job's life and the outcome of the Lord's dealings. Can we just say that Jesus is at work in you, Philippians 2:13, both to will and to do of his good pleasure? God has such a plan for your life. God's got his hand on your life. It's just amazing. I love sticking around long enough to see the detailed workings of God. It's amazing. And how you can look at something and there's no semblance of how it's going to come together. When I was a young kid, there used to be cables in the bottom of the ocean connecting phone systems from the continents. This is ancient. This is out of antiquity. This is a history lesson, people. And that the dredges would sometimes occasionally accidentally tear these cables up and it would cause total disruption of communication. Now, the reason I understand and know about these phone lines is because my dad loved to grow little bonsai trees. Trey and I used to watch him with all this. He had all this interest in these plants. He'd buy these plants and he'd prune them and clip them. He bought these special clippers from Japan and he bought these special pots and they were expensive and these trees that if you just let them go out in the yard, they'd go 40 or 50 feet high, these pines. And he would grow them for years and years and years and he'd clip them. But he'd take these copper wires and he'd use them, different gauges of wire to shape the branches of the trees and make them look real gnarly and windblown and really cool. He'd put them on rocks and he'd go get moss and he'd put them on there and he made it just look like little miniature, beautiful, scaled down forest trees. And they looked real gnarly and the trunks were real, you know, craggy and the branches looked windswept and cool. And he said, you know, if I had let this grow, it'd be like 30, 40 feet. I said, why don't you just put it out in the yard, man? But he used to soak them in the sink with fish emulsion fertilizer. It was intense. Trey just said it was intense. You go in the house and go, whoa, he's fertilizing the bonsais. This explains some things about a traumatic childhood, really. I mean, that constitutes some type of abuse. But I go back to the wires. He'd come with these wires and they would be all just all different colors and they'd be all piled up. Anybody remember seeing phone line like this? Before there was optic, fiber optics are, that's like antiquity too. Isn't that in the history? Now it's just everything's wireless, but there were wires before. Wireless age, there used to be wires. And I looked at some wires that had been cut into and they were just all skewed. And I felt like that a certain point in my young life, I felt like, God, nothing seems to tie together. I've got all this, and then does this tie? and it's all jumbled. But the Bible says he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And this is where we don't throw away our confidence. This is where we embrace the assurance that faithful is he who calls you, he'll also bring it to pass. We consider the outcome of Job's life. And that helps us not to be afraid to read and analyze the challenges and trials that he went through in his life, because we get to run to the end of the book and see that he learned God could do all things and that no purpose of his would be thwarted, and it ended well. Amen. It ended well for Paul. It ended well for King David. It ended well for the early church. And God causes things that seem to be crazy to ultimately work together for good, and that no purpose of his can be thwarted. And remember, I'm reminding you, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but we are of those who, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. We're imitators of those. So we've got to watch this. We look at this and we see, well, in Joel's case, he prophesied that there would be a restoration. He prophesied that there would be a restoration, that he would restore. Wow. He would restore the full assurance of hope until the end. This will help you when you go through one of those depressing times. I remember a preacher saying, watch what you say when you're depressed. Bridle your tongue through those difficult times and speak God's word. Yes. Amen. I'm tracking with my brother. Psalm 27 says, my heart says, of you seek his face, and your face, Lord, I will seek. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense and the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said in verse 13 and 14, I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm confident that in our own soil, on our own land, we'll see harvest and revival and blessing and progress concerning the kingdom of God, concerning the message and the gospel of the Lord Jesus. This nation has been financing missions for 100+ years. You better believe the devil doesn't like the atmosphere of faith on this nation. I want God to keep his hand on our nation, and I'm trusting that he will. I'm going to keep lifting my eyes to the Lord. He's my helper. He watches over us and he keeps us. Remember, our going out and our coming in. And being a personal product of a revival and seeing God move in a people group and an age bracket that went throughout the lands for an extended period of time, I'm convinced that in addition to God's general, constant faithfulness, that his word is forever true, that the light of the gospel penetrates darkness, it excels darkness, it pushes back darkness. In addition to that, there are seasons of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. I'm confident that sorrow may last for the evening, but joy comes in the morning. I'm confident that his mercies and his steadfast love never cease, and his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Amen. I think about Zechariah, where he says, as for you, he said this to Israel also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I have set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, O prisoners who have hope. This very day, I'm declaring that I will restore double to you. Woo! He is into restoration. He prophesied it through Joel. He prophesied it through Zechariah. He revealed it to us through Job. He revealed it to us time and again. There's an indication. This ought to sharpen your edge a little bit. We must imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. You and I are called to be inheritors. We have an inheritance. We are called joint heirs with Christ. There is an inheritance mapped out and laid out for each one of us that is vital that we take hold of. It's vital that we stand tonight. It's vital that we fight for this. You sons and daughters, you young people, I'm standing with you. As your generation, there's some peeling back. It'll cause a remnant to emerge that are the real deal. Gold gets refined through the fire, and all the dross and all the excess burns up, and it refines it and brings it into purity. The Bible says, in the end times, the wicked will act wickedly. None of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. There's a film that my son told me about, and I watched with my daughter, The Daniel Project. It's fascinating. He itemizes the end time prophecies that have been fulfilled in the last 100 years. And I like the way he approached it. The producer of the show hired a voiceover actor, British guy, who admitted he was a skeptic. So it didn't come off in some sort of harsh preachiness. It was fascinating that what the guy basically said was, I think as you analyze these and evaluate these historical documents and the evidence that is presented, that you'll be fascinated with your conclusion. And I thought this was brilliant that this guy took vital end time teaching and made it accessible to the world. But part of what he said was that Jesus warned that people will be so preoccupied with their own daily eat, drink, and main issues that they'll ignore the larger issues of what's going on around them. But those who have insight will understand. There's a prophetic thing I'm speaking to you tonight. I'm not going into what Daniel prophesied and Ezekiel prophesied and I cracked the code in the book of Revelation to tell you who the Antichrist is, because I don't know, and I don't know the hour or the day Jesus is coming back. But I do know he is coming back, because Jesus is awesome. And I don't know all the details of what's happening for your tomorrows, but I do know the outcome of the Lord's dealings in Job's life. And he said, God, you can do all things and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. And like Jeremiah, I want to chime in and say, ah, Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and nothing is too difficult for you. We used to sing a song that we sang a lot and it was helpful. It's no longer, it's sort of stale in its tone. It needs to be revised. But the essence of that ancient prophetic truth from the prophet Jeremiah stands, that nothing is too difficult for God. And some of you that feel like things don't tie together, let me tell you, let me commend you to my God. He knows how to work everything after the counsel of his own will. He knows how to take your mess and turn it into a message, take your tests and turn them into testimonies. And I think that's way beyond cute. I've heard a preacher say that before, and I'll say it because I think it really, really is sound. God is faithful. God is faithful, and he will sustain you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's close with Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. This is just designed to be sharpening for you. I just wanted to share with you things to help you not to throw away your confidence. Isaiah 41. I love this verse. Isaiah 41, 10. Thank you, Jesus. He prophesies over the people of Israel, and he says, I've chosen you and I've not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's fascinating, isn't it? I was crying at Micah's funeral at the Club XL, and a guy that an artist that was in our church, he moved to another state, or another city. He walked up to me, saw Patsy and me, we were crying. And he gave me this verse with a painting he had painted. It was on a bookmark. And he's an artist, and he painted it the size of a door. And it was God's hand with light coming out of it on a guy that was in the midst of darkness, he had these images of demonic faces and the starkness of the contrast of all the darkness and the oppression, but then the God's big, beautiful hand with light coming off of it. It was actually a beautiful piece of art. The verse was printed on the back of it, and I looked at it, and just in that moment, with my broken heart, light came to me. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. See, this strengthening, helping, upholding inspires us in the area of confidence, not to throw it away. It's not a disposable item. Cast not away your confidence. It has a great reward. Tonight is a defining moment for some people. Some of you are at a crossroads. Some of you are having to make a decision. Not to grow weary and tired and be defeated, but to stand. We're taking a stand afresh tonight that God is going to work all these things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Behold, all those who are angered at you will be shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you but will not find them. Those who war with you will be as nothing and non-existent. For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not fear, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, declares the Lord, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I have made you a new, sharp threshing sledge with double edges. You will thresh the mountains and pulverize them. You will make the hills like chaff. Father, I thank you for making people new, sharp threshing sledges with double edges that can thresh and pulverize the mountains. I thank you for teaching us how to sharpen our edge, Lord. Thank you for giving us wisdom, which gives advantage in success. I speak, God, into people's hearts with the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. I pray, Jesus, our embodiment, our Lord, the central agent of all wisdom. Jesus, you are our wisdom. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And God, we learn the outcome of these lives that lived rugged, determined lives in the past. Job, Paul, Zechariah, Israel, Joel. And we thank you that King David learned that he could trust you in these seasons of our lives. You're able to make all grace abound toward us, that we, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So, Lord, we trust you. And as we do, it brings peace in our hearts. You'll keep us in perfect peace when we keep our minds steadfast upon you because we trust you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. Our trust is in you. We cast not away our confidence. We are not of those who shrink back. You will restore double as you did to Israel. You will, as you did to Job, as you said you would to Joel, the years the locust is eaten. You know how to patch up moth holes where they become invisible. You know how to heal scars where they disappear. You know how to make a stony heart a heart of tenderness. You know how to renew a determination in a sluggish soul. You know how to revive. And so, Lord, we trust you to bring it to pass. You are our strength, and we look to you for help. You are our help. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.